On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we go back to 19th century France and look for Christian themes in Les Miserables. Is the bishop in this film a true vicar of Christ? What about the merciful Jean Valjean? All that and more in 3, 2, 1... Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 25. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, you're under the weather today.
I am under the weather.
Oh, we can hear it in your voice. Got your handkerchief. You got your Hall's mental.
No, my handkerchief. No, this is called a death catcher.
Oh. Nice.
And I hope whatever death expires comes out of my mouth expires and does not stay on the microphone. So
hey, that's your microphone, so you do whatever you want. Hey, there he goes.
I know, there we go. Well, let's keep a tally mark.
Yeah. Check. No, so what have you been doing? Where how'd you get sick?
Well, I honestly think it started last Thursday after the podcast. Went over to Mel's. Uh-huh. For a little karaoke, and they were having their big finale karaoke contest final round.
End of the summer blowout?
Yeah, end of the summer wahoo. And there was a fog machine there, and fog machines are not conducive to karaoke singing.
No.
Hint, hint, guys.
So, in other words, are you saying stop doing that?
Well, yeah, I'm saying stop doing that because, like, one of my favorite songs to sing at karaoke is Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger. And you can't do that song and not do the gravel thing with your voice. And yes. With that plus fog machine equals Brendan coughing for a week later.
Well.
And then this weekend it progressed into, like, a... You know, just the big old head cold.
Well, you were out doing all kinds of things for Labor Day. What did that exasperate the situation? Did you have a good time?
Oh yeah, I had a good time, and I want to believe that actually getting out and, you know, enjoying nature a little bit kind of helped it, like helped heal it. But not, I mean, obviously I still have it. So
yeah. What else been going on?
Well, saw also on Labor Day saw Into the Storm.
Into
the Storm.
Okay.
Pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's not Twister 2. Everyone thinks it's going to be Twister 2, but it's not.
Sharknado? Are there any sharks in the movie anywhere?
No sharks.
Oh, no!
See, I can't laugh.
Okay, no joking today. This is a
very serious episode. I can't laugh.
A fun-free zone.
I will lose myself.
Where can people go and find out more on your thoughts on Into the Storm, starring sharks?
They can just go to fcc.gctnetwork.com.
All right, for a Monday movie review.
Yep.
Have you been keeping up on your 6 days on, 1 day of rest over at the Book of Brendan?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Except for this morning, because preparation for this film that we're about to do today.
Yes.
It kind of took precedence over trying to keep that schedule up because it's such a long movie.
Hey, no, not long, deep, impactful, just, wait.
It's 2.5 hours, Michael. It's a long movie. But I'll have something up, I'll have something jaunty and, you know, spry.
Well, good.
This evening.
Good. Hey, real quick, last week, before I forget, we started doing a new thing here for Finding Christ in Cinema, and we are posting part of the Real News segment now on YouTube.
And so first one went up the other day. You can just go to our YouTube channel. We'll give you the links at the – no, we won't. The links are on the website, but youtube.com/GCTNTV. Get over there. You can watch three of the most impactful stories that we talked about last week. And so I'm going to do that each week, just edit together two or three of the best news stories. And the ones that are going to appeal to YouTube watchers that are looking for movie news. So put that on your list. We aren't going to post that on the website at all. So if you want to watch those and share them with friends, your movie-loving friends, that way you can, maybe you can covertly, I don't want to say trick them into, but lead them into a full Finding Christ in Cinema episode.
Yeah, we want to be forthcoming.
Yes.
You don't want to say, hey, look at this movie news clip.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that too.
Full disclosure. Yeah. Always do full disclosure, but that way you can say, you know, if you have like real... You know, there's some angry atheists out in the world, and there are also some very that are just apathetic. And so if you can mm-hmm. say, hey, you know what, I listen to this podcast called Finding Christ in Cinema. They find Christian themes in all kinds of movies. It's really neat, but you need to just listen to these guys. It's pretty entertaining, and they do some up-to-date movie news, entertainment news. Give this video a watch and see what you think. And so we're doing that. Anything else, Brendan?
Well, actually, going back to the Book of Brendan.
Yeah.
One post that I'm kind of proud of. It's about the DC trip, about the Holocaust Museum.
Okay.
So definitely check that out. And unfortunately, I couldn't take pictures inside the museum.
Not allowed?
Nobody could. Okay. Yeah, no one was allowed to. But I got a good couple images from the outside of the building.
Okay.
So definitely check that out.
Again, the website?
TheBookOfBrendan.com.
Yeah, more updates?
No, I'm updated out, baby.
Are you ready for some real news?
Roll it.
Hey, got this from Empire Online and all kinds of other places, Brendan. The long-delayed Jeff Bridges fantasy called Seventh Son has a new trailer. Now, are you familiar with this movie at all?
Not at
all. Okay, check this out. After a year after Warner Brothers debuted the first trailer for Seventh Son, a year after, we finally get a new look as Warner Brothers tries to make up lost ground on the film. See, it was originally slated for last year. Seventh Son has been teased for over a year after getting caught up in all manner of behind-the-scenes brouhaha. I've read the special effects company going bankrupt, two companies within Warner Brothers fighting or suing. This movie got caught up in a divorce battle.
Oh, that's a shame.
Basically what's going on. And, the movie is based on The Last Apprentice book series by Joseph Delaney. Have you heard of that?
Again, I'm clueless.
Well, the movie is finally coming to theaters, and Bridges plays a mystical warrior teaching a farmhand, played by a fella named Ben Barnes, to battle creatures, sorcery, and evil, an evil queen played by Juliana Moore.
Oh, hey, all right.
You want to hear some more? Here we go.
I'm going to leave this place soon.
I knew this day would come. Be wise. Be careful. Everything you ever need is inside you, my son.
I have been searching for you, Mr. Ward. You are the seventh son of a seventh son.
An order of noble knights combating the forces of darkness.
It says here that there are 1,000 of you.
They've all died. We are all that's left.
Teach me.
You live in a world now where legend and nightmare are real.
Return. The world of man shall fall.
do this. I'm not like you.
Join us.
Ooh, sounds pretty exciting.
Yes, it does.
Also, another in a long line of J.R.R. Tolkien-inspired stories. You know, I mean, really, he defined the genre for everybody else. But go and look at the trailer. Looks exciting. I want to see it. I'll bet you there's going to be all kinds of Christian themes and biblical themes that we can find in there.
I bet so.
You know, just that genre lends itself to that type of thing.
Well, Michael, let's go over to the rumor mill. Fashioninstyle.com.
What?
Hey, I know. You wouldn't
look at the news wherever we can.
You wouldn't think it would have movie news. However, it's reporting on X-Men.
Okay.
Specifically, the next X-Men film that will be coming out, X-Men Apocalypse. And we've got maybe some plot details that pertain to some ancient mutants.
Do we have any?
I don't think so.
All right.
But, you know, only time will tell.
That's the spoiler alert alarm for any new listeners out there. Okay, continue.
Any spoiler alerts in this news piece? I don't think so. I just think as time goes on, we'll learn.
Proceed at your own risk.
If you saw the after credit scene from X-Men Days of Future Past.
I have not.
Or if you're like me, I saw it three times. then you know what's going on. But if you didn't, here's a summary. We see rolling sand dunes, and we hear many people chanting, almost as if they were worshiping something. We then see the back of a figure who looks like Egyptian royalty with his hands raised. You know, he's doing, you know, some sort of...
I knew you were going the Egyptian
route. You knew that.
I did.
Then a huge mass of stone flies by and lands in a clearing in the desert floor. This then proves to be the foundation of the Great Pyramids. and the rest of the stones all swirl and fall into place because they are being controlled by this royal figure who turns out to be the mutant Apocalypse.
Whoa.
And he apparently was the very first mutant.
Wow.
From whom all other mutants flow for some reason. And in the background, just before the scene fades to black, we see his four horsemen. Now rumors are now circulating that this ancient past will play more into the plot of X-Men Apocalypse. We could be following not only the origins of Apocalypse himself, but also fan favorites such as Nightcrawler. You know, the X-Men Nightcrawler, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I am an X-Men fan. I don't see the movies that often.
Okay. And we know his last X-Men appearance was in X-Men 2, X-Men United. Now, here's something that I've been thinking about. Nightcrawler is Catholic. How's he going to react to an age-old mutant who's been worshipped like a god?
Oh.
We'll just have to find out on May 27th, 2016.
The magic year.
Yeah, I there it is again.
Hey, from firstshowing.net, Martin Scorsese to direct the Ramones biopic? Yeah, Martin Scorsese has worked with the Rolling Stones on documentaries. He's handpicked classic rock tracks for various films and is no stranger to music. But is he the guy to bring the quintessential American punk rock legends, the Ramones, to the big screen? I say no. In fact, I say no.
Now, would other people even go as far as to say boo?
Yeah, well, you know what this one old lady says. Because she was there when they were around, and all the kids these days, they say boo. The 40th anniversary of the eponymous Ramones debut album is coming up, and Billboard is reporting that Scorsese is to direct a feature film. I don't even know that I like Martin Scorsese in general. I know I love Hugo. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I don't. I mean, he did what? Goodfellas.
He did Goodfellas. I like Goodfellas. I liked it. I like it as a mob movie, as opposed to The Godfather.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brando fans, but I
you
just
like the.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
go out and whack him.
I really like the scene where, what's his face? Joe Pesci gets made. Like, I don't like it, but I.
Do I amuse you?
Oh, darn it.
Oh, no, I'm making him cough. Once again, Brendan is sick. I apologize for that. Okay, listen. This is one of the most legendary punk rock bands ever. They started it in America. They're a favorite band of mine. I don't want to see Big Hollywood take something raw and grassroots, something that had this amazing origin, and turn it into a big Hollywood movie. I don't want it. That's ugly, and that is doing a disservice. It is. Well, I don't want to use any religious kind of.
It's just the man taking the world over. Is
it's
that
wrong.
Right?
Yep. It's wrong. But hey, you know, other reports are saying nope, it ain't going to happen. He's too busy. He's got other things going on. This is just a crazy rumor. But that anniversary is coming up in, you guessed it, 2016.
What is going on with this year? From the Latino Review, NBC's live broadcast of Peter Pan is flying into gear.
Live broadcast of Peter Pan?
Yes, yes. Following the success of the live broadcast performance of The Sound of Music from last year. Yeah, you see where we're going now. NBC is gearing up for its own live broadcast of the musical Peter Pan. The titular role will be played by Allison Williams, daughter of NBC primetime news anchor Brian Williams.
Hey!
Hey, yeah.
I see him on Sesame Street all the time, this one episode.
He's hilarious.
Yes.
She will be continuing the long tradition of women playing the boy who never grows up, a tradition started most notably by Kathy Rigby.
Sandy Duncan. Sandy Duncan.
Kathy Sandy Rigby Duncan. NBC, now I didn't know that. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Hey, all right. NBC has released the first promo shot for the event that features Williams in a full Peter Pan costume sitting on the top of a mast of a ship and looking into the horizon.
Hmm.
Look out for Peter Pan live December 4th, 2014.
They're breaking the tradition. Good. It's something in 2014.
Oh, I know. This year. Who knew?
2016 is the year. Okay, listen up, everybody. Empire Online reports newly registered internet domains point to future DC superheroes. Oh, man, we've been talking about this for months now here on Finding Christ in Cinema. JusticeLeagueFilm.com and WonderWomanTheMovie.com both forward to the main Warner Brothers website. But try this one on for size, Mr. Brendan Taylor. ShazamMovie.com. Shazam! So it's all about Jim Neighbors as...
Shazam, Shazam, Shazam!
Okay.
Citizens Reyes.
Last month, a story that we allowed to go under the radar said that Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who could probably wipe up the floor with Sheamus, whatever that is, he tweeted that he had been... Oh, there he goes. It is gone. Sorry. The Rock tweeted that he had been in talks for a Shazam film. Well, yesterday, Brendan, he confirmed that he'll portray the anti-hero Black Adam in said movie. But what excites me, your humble co-host, most... is AquamanMovie.com. Yeah, all the kids say yay! We've heard rumor that Jason Momoa is playing the king of the seven seas, co-founder of the Justice League, in the forthcoming Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Now we find that Aquaman may have a standalone film in that recently revealed lineup that stretches for years to come.
just really quick,
okay.
Guys, for those who didn't get the Seamus joke, last week, after we, you know, got through the most of the show, we had a little breaking news rumor that came through that said the world wrestling entertainment icon Seamus may be playing Darth Vader. So, and I think Michael was going off of...
At the very least, he confirmed that he will not be confirming that he is not playing Darth Vader.
and it is the suggested use of the double negative,
yes,
which causes concern.
Yes.
But anyway, okay, back to DC Superheroes.
What do you think of this? I mean, this story right here is just jam-packed with all kinds of content.
It is, yeah. Now, I got to be honest with you, Michael. Aquaman
is awesome. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
That's not what I was going to say, but okay.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Do I have your pity as well?
Why would you not say that?
He's the king of Atlantis. I just can't. I don't know. I didn't follow Aquaman. Apparently not as closely as you did, so.
He's always been one of my favorites. Okay, well then, get back to, what about Shazam? Captain Marvel.
Nope.
What do you mean no?
No, I don't know.
Oh. Well, you're going to know.
No habla. No habla, Captain Marvel.
You don't speak Captain Marvel.
No.
Well, you're going to find out, and we're going to find out, and we're all going to find out, and I don't know if that's going to be in 2016 or not.
But you know what? Something probably will be.
Well, something's going to happen. Yeah. Oh, well, when's Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, coming out?
Actually, I think that's next year.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Good.
I don't know. Yeah,
throw a dog a bone. Anyway, Brendan, any more news from you?
No, I am now newsed out.
All right. You ready to go to the movies?
Yes.
I'm cold. Would you let me stay here for tonight? I know who you are. You're Jean Valjean.
Right, my girl, on your way.
I had a dream my life would be.
Help me, please, I have a child. So different from this hell I'm living. So different now from what it seems.
Where is your child?
No, life has killed the dream.
One day more.
Is that?
Another day, another destiny.
Hamza.
It's never-ending road to Calvary.
Where's the child, Cosette?
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away.
Who was that girl?
Cosette.
And yet with you my world has started.
But he never saw me there.
We've been, really, this movie is part of the inspiration for this whole show. We talked about this right after it was in the theaters, and just, it's so jam-packed with, in fact, my saying is that Jesus is in every single scene of this movie, and it's fitting.
A lot of people on the internet agree with you.
Well, it's fitting that here, we didn't mention, this is episode number 25, which is also a milestone.
Episode 20 was a milestone.
Yeah.
Episode 25.
It's 25, man.
I'm just saying.
Hey, this show's firmly established, and that's good news.
Yes,
it's going to continue on unless something happens. But let's talk a little bit about our recollections of the film or the story in general. What strikes you the most about this production?
Well, something I think that transcends like this specific production, because the story itself, it's so wide and expanding.
Yeah, it's epic.
It is an epic. Yes, it starts in what's the year? 1825.
Yeah, it was decade after the French Revolution.
Yeah, and then. Then it goes on. It opens up 8 years later, I guess, technically, because that's when, like, the prologue is set in 1825, 4 or 5. And then it's 8 years later when the story actually starts. And then it's another some odd years later once Act Two starts. Yeah. And then it just,
years. And
it spans all this time.
Right.
It's really cool when something like that happens and it's still so concise.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not like there's nothing gratuitous or loosey-goosey in it. It's all well-knit and well-written. I would say that.
Yeah. Yes, very well. The story, well, it's a book. Okay.
It is a book.
And it's a big fat book.
Yes, it's a book.
My wife is trying to get me to read it, or actually listen to it, the audiobook version. She just thoroughly enjoyed it. And you learn all kinds of other things about the characters and what's going on, the inner monologue, right? And that is makes for a great story. And then, so I don't know the history of Les Miserables when it was turned into a stage production, when it was turned into it's technically a musical. To me, it's like an operetta. Or something. It's like
it's more of what you said, operetta. It's more of an opera than it is just
because it's pretty grandiose. It's not watching Grease or
take Grease for example. Grease has dialogue.
Oh yeah,
that
okay.
is then there's a song every every now and then.
Right.
The whole entirety of Les Mis is sung. There's like 95% singing and 5% dialogue, and even the dialogue, it's underneath a layer of singing.
Right.
So there's that. So I believe it extends more to an opera than it does.
Do you think that that is part of the turnoff for some people?
I know it was for a lot of people when the movie came out because they hadn't seen the play.
Right.
And I can remember some people. Having talked to him that weekend after seeing it when it first
came
out.
You're all pumped up.
Like, I'm like, all right, guys, tell me about it. Like, was it everything I ever dreamed of? It's like, no, they sang the whole time. And then I thought, oh, wait, you're not a theater person, are you?
Well, it's more than that, though, for me. And I don't want to get too deep into that, but I don't understand people like that. That doesn't make them bad. It means that we are two separate kinds of people.
Yeah.
And it takes all kinds of people to make the world go round. But I have to admit that my flesh starts to bubble up to the surface. Okay? And I have to fight it back down because I start making judgment calls on people. What's wrong with you? How could you not, I'm not going to name any names or get too specific so that I don't incriminate anybody. I know somebody that's near and dear to my heart that works with a bunch of people, and this person that's near and dear to my heart was telling everybody after seeing it, wow, did you see Les Miserables? And one person said, that's the dumbest movie I ever seen. and this person that I'm near and dear to was, well, as the British would say, gobsmacked. What?
Yeah.
How in the world can you say that? Did you pay attention to the story at all? This story speaks to me on such a deep emotional level, tugging at the heartstrings, stirring me. Let's talk about that for just a minute. What do you think it is about? Do you think it's the music?
That plays a major part in it, I think.
You know,
because every character gets their spotlight moment.
Yeah.
every character.
Oh, goodness. Like, and they all hit it out of the park.
Yes.
Every single player.
Yes. And in a second, I want to hear your answer to who was your favorite, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay, okay.
Give you some time to, you know,
to
formulate some thoughts. I definitely think music has a huge part in how stirring this film is, because that's just how life works. You know, we want to hear the music that inspires us, and we want the word, if there's any words with it, we want those words to be equally inspiring and as equally inspired.
Yes,
because Russ Adcock says, all good stories are
well, all the best stories have elements of the greatest story.
And yes, all great stories do have elements of Les Mis.
Absolutely.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I do. I do. Continue on, because I'm looking up something here real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go ahead and put out my favorite. My favorite song from the show, it could be this movie or, a stage production, is Bring Him Home.
Okay.
I love that song. I love Colm Wilkinson's version. By the way, Colm Wilkinson, people need to know that name, because he originated the role of Jean Valjean, and he makes an appearance in the film as the bishop.
The most important figure in this movie, or this story.
Well, that's,
oh, that's a little...
That's arguable.
No, it's not.
But yeah, that's my favorite song. However, in this film,
yeah,
I really liked Samantha Bark's version of On My Own. She's Eponine.
She plays Eponine. She's a fine actress, too.
Yes.
A beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's a... a lot of people harped on Russell Crowe in this film. Well, because I think it's the very first scene with the song Look Down.
Uh-huh.
Look down, look down, don't look him in the eye. Go.
Well, during that song, after Hugh Jackman and his fellow, prison mates, they're doing whatever, Russell Crowe kind of flattens things down a little bit with his singing voice, because it's a little flat.
But he is a constable. He's a police officer. He's a soldier.
Oh, I know.
He is a very... in fact, it's a perfect example of what I was just talking about. I don't understand people that look at a movie like this and say, that's a dumb movie. What a dumb movie. They're just singing through it. Why did I waste my time on that? I can't understand that kind of person, just like I can't understand Javert. And vice versa.
Well, now, in saying that from the first scene, I love his performance of Stars.
Oh, yes.
The song he sings when he solidifies his vow to God that he will catch Valjean.
You know what? And that is something. Let me bring that up right now, because my wife pointed this out to me. She said, isn't it interesting that both Jean Valjean and Javert believe with all their hearts that they are doing God's will?
Yes.
And how diametrically opposed can you be? That's a great lesson for us. Yeah, I mean, a great lesson. You can be sincere, you can be sincerely wrong, but you know what? They're both trying to serve God and seeing how that plays out. Wow.
And actually, on that note, there's a really good article. I'll try to link to it on the show notes or on the blog post or something. There's a good article at redletterchristians.com.
Uh-huh.
That talks about the two different types of Christianities.
Oh, yes.
And their figureheads are Valjean and Javert.
Oh.
Javert, even though he's not saying he can do anything to earn his salvation, he's kind of borderline saying that.
I think he is, myself.
Well,
that is perfect fodder for the new show that we're trying to develop here on the Great Commission Transmission Network. Oh, and if people want discussion
which one?
Well, hey, I'm teasing.
Sorry. But that with Javert, and then Valjean being the end-all merciful, the end-all loving side of Christianity. And, you know, like I said, a really good article. I'll try to get the link out there sometime. Okay, Michael.
All right.
What was your favorite song?
Oh, goodness. Favorite song?
Well, just favorite anything. If you hear the word favorite, what do you think of Les Mis?
Two things. Well, three things. There's three things.
Okay.
First, every bit of it.
Oh.
Okay. I know that's the easy way out,
that's
right?
That's a cop out. Yeah.
But just to let you know, this is literally in my top five all-time favorite movies. I think this movie is nearly perfect. Scale of 5 stars, I'd give it a 4.99999999999 stars. Okay, now to get more specific, two favorites, and I have to go with The Bishop, and I'll tell you why in a little bit.
Okay.
The whole opening, I don't know where the first act would end. So I would imagine after the soliloquy, and then
after whose soliloquy?
Jean Valjean's soliloquy, and then him starting his new life as factory owner, mayor, that type of stuff.
Oh, that's the beginning of Act One. You're talking about like the end of the prologue.
Oh, okay, yes. Because I'm sorry.
The prologue is where the whole bishop scene happens.
Okay, well then that is Okay, I started weeping openly in the theater as soon as the bishop appears and finds Jean Valjean in the alleyway, you know, presumably right outside his home.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Which, if you have to read the book, my wife said, in order to know that bishop refused money for himself. Okay, now at a time when many Catholic bishops and priests were building up great empires for them, you know, castles, luxurious, he took every bit of that money and gave it to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the kind of person that he is, and we're going to find out even more about what type of a person he is.
Now, here goes Michael getting all worked up.
Okay, yes. Well, because I can't go into it further without giving away what I'm going to talk about. So that, and then, of course, Fantine. Because I'll tell you what, I have never had any affinity, nor I've been lukewarm to Anne Hathaway up until this movie. I didn't dislike her. I didn't like her. She didn't do anything for me. Her portrayal of Fantine got me to see the errors of my own ways about how I look at people. And people in particular circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. I have great sympathy now for people that find themselves backed into a corner and bad things happen. And and now when I read about Jesus spending his time with tax collectors and sinners, what do you think kind of people were the sinners, Brendan, when it says tax collectors and sinners? So tax collectors were despised, but then, so that's one group of people, and then everybody else falls under sinners. And you know what that includes? It includes prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
It includes, you know, drug abusers.
Drug user, yeah.
Yes. It includes drunks. It includes all kinds of people that are in bad situations, and I need to love them. I need to love them. But her, oh, man. I can't remember how many takes she did her song in, I Have a Dream, or I Had a Dream.
I Dreamed a Dream.
I Dreamed a Dream.
Yeah.
It wasn't many. It wasn't many takes, and she nailed it. And so those two are my favorites, and the songs speak to me. All the songs speak to me. But let me get back real quick to songs. This is what I was looking for earlier. A friend of mine on Twitter posted a picture, and this is a quote by Aldous Huxley, who's a famous humanist, kind of guy.
A brave new world.
Listen to this. After silence, that which comes nearest to expressing the inexpressible is music.
Okay.
Does that resonate with you at all?
It does, yeah.
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 How do you express the inexpressible? And that's why we can watch an opera that's in, you know, Italian or whatever, or if you're going to be listening to Mozart, you get it in speak of the Deutsch, you know?
Yeah.
And you can still understand because it speaks to you on that level. Those are my two favorites.
Well, all right.
Anything else?
Master of the house. Quick to get your eye. Sacha Baron Cohen.
It's a favorite of yours?
Oh, excuse me, guys. I'm sorry.
Poor Brendan's sick.
I know it.
Came to work sick. What a trooper.
Yeah. But no, like, this. He's just a big old goofball.
Yeah.
But he's so perfect for this role, I think. He even, on this role, it's a static role.
Mm-hmm.
The master of the house, he doesn't change. His heart is not broken by anything of this movie.
No.
Neither is his wife.
Right.
And
well, you know why? He's closed-minded.
Yeah.
He's a closed-minded individual. You can't change his mind about things, which is another good lesson to learn, that especially us as Christians need to learn.
Yeah.
You know, which goes off into a whole new direction, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now, but continue on.
No, that's all.
What about Helena Bonham Carter?
Second movie in a row. Yeah, she's got it again.
She did great.
Yep.
Colette is Cosette.
Whatever.
Yeah, they are. Well, now, when we showed our oldest daughter this film, a year ago or so, we did have her. Hey, you know, this whole scene, you may want to avert your eyes. What have you? You know, when we first see what's going on at their inn, all the debauchery and whatnot
during the song "Master of the House."
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. They did a great job painting a picture of these people and their character.
Oh yeah, yep. Oh Santa.
Yeah,
that's all. Okay,
exactly.
Anyway,
you went a little too far there.
Image. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So, Michael, how can this film be used as a witnessing tool?
How can it not? Every single scene has Jesus Christ in it, and especially in the epilogue. I submit to you that although we could branch off, Brendan, and do a whole entire show, a new podcast called Finding Christ in Les Miserables, but we're not going to do that. At least we're not planning on it. I think Jesus steps into the beginning of this film, makes his appearance, redeems the lost, gives spiritual gifts, and then sends him on his way in order to perform the Christian walk, in order to be Christ-like, or as the Apostle Paul would say, imitate me as like I imitate Christ.
Yes.
Okay. And that is obviously the bishop. The bishop is Jesus. And when Jean Valjean he's in bad shape. Okay, he's been living as a slave for 20 years for stealing a loaf of bread. Well, 5 for nicking the bread.
And then the rest for trying to escape the first time.
Right. And he is still in slavery because he will always be on parole. There is no mercy in that world that he comes out of. There is no grace. And now he is finding that he is going to starve to death because he is still a slave. It would be better for him to go back and be pulling, you know, riding ships and pulling them into dry dock in order to be repaired. And so here he is, and he has an encounter with the living Christ, with Jesus himself. And it comes down to the gifts and the mercy that Jesus has.
Come and serve, for you are weary. And the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share. There is wine here to revive you. There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. rest from pain and rest from wrong.
That reminds me of Jesus in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, "Come to me." We're all familiar with this, but read it again in light of this scene that we just watched. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Jean Valjean, you carry these papers that say that you are no good. You're a dangerous criminal, is what these papers say. Nobody is going to give you anything. You will get no breaks, but come unto me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I, the Lord of the universe, the creator of all things, I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What we have little, but it's yours. We have it to share. Jesus has everything to share. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Oh, beautiful.
Yes. No, I agree.
Now, he brings him in, and he shows him grace, gives him food and a place to stay. And Jean Valjean isn't converted yet. Even after that, he isn't converted. And he gets up in the middle of the night and steals all the silver that he can get and then sneaks out. But Brendan, he's caught and he's brought back.
Get in there! Put him down! Stay there! Monseigneur, we have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
You had the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind. You forgot. I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind? Monsieur, release him. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for
the closest to perfect portrayal of Jesus that I have ever seen on film, on stage, anywhere else. Brendan, he's brought back, caught red-handed, all these precious things. Now, the bishop had already said the previous night, hey, we don't have much here, but what we have is yours. We have to share. We have it to share. And he's brought back, and they say, we got him. Now, press charges. The bishop says, no, I gave him these things. What he says is true. And now he goes and grabs the most precious things, the candlestick holders that I propose to you and to all others that are watching the film from henceforth. As you see those candlestick holders throughout the film, they are the blood of Christ. The most precious thing I have to give you, Jean Valjean, is my blood. And you take this for the rest of your life and become an honest man. Because with this blood, this gift that I'm giving you, I just bought your soul for God. Redeemed, purchased back. That is the concept of Jesus and his shedding of his blood. It is finished. It paid in full. The debt is paid in full. We have Jean Valjean. He robbed these things. I give those to him. And not only that, he forgot the most precious thing that I have, and that is this blood, the silver candlestick holders. Now, throughout that whole scene, you've got these, I don't know if they're nuns or what they are. I'm not familiar enough with Catholic religion to know.
Yeah.
Let's just say they're nuns. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, and that's fine. Those ladies, the look on their face the whole time, from the moment he brings Jean Valjean in to the moment that he redeems him, the look on their face is like, what is this? The bishop has gone off, he's gone around the bend. As Alice would say,
bonkers.
Yes, absolutely mad.
Completely mental.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, what this riffraff. And you know what? That reminds me of one of the most, to me, the most amazing passages, amongst many others, but a passage that I always come back to because it just blows my mind is 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Now, let me build up. If you go back starting in verse 8, you know, Peter is talking to Christians. He says, you know, speaking of Jesus, you have not seen him, but you love him. That's the situation that we're in, right? You do not see him now, but you believe in him. That's faith. And so you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, which gets back to that Aldous Huxley quote. Let me read that quote one more time, if I can find it. Here it is. After silence, that which comes nearest to expressing the inexpressible is music. And how does the Bible often refer to expressing our joy? Is through music. Just a little sidebar there.
A whole lot of times.
So, and so you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. Music, we bust forth in song and praise because you're attaining the goal of your faith. What's the goal of your faith? Is salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who predicted the grace that would come to you searched and investigated carefully. What does that mean? It means they probed into what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified beforehand about the sufferings appointed for Christ. In other words, this glory that he obtained, the prophets who spoke of him by the Spirit of Christ are going, when are these things going to happen? What is this that I'm prophesying to people? A lot of times the prophets didn't even understand what they were telling people as they were moved by the Spirit of Christ, as we find out from Peter. Thank you, Peter, for telling us that it was Christ who was stirring them to do that. They probed into what person or time. They were looking diligently. That's what probe means. But they were shown that they were serving not themselves, Brendan, but you, the writers, the readers, who are reading this from Peter, in regard to the things now announced to you through those who proclaim the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, in other words, the apostles and preachers and stuff sent from heaven. You know, things, here's the key right here, from the New King James Version, things which angels desired to look into. You know how I would translate that? Things that angels were watching and saying, what is God doing? Even those beings that spend all of their time in the presence of the God of the universe don't understand what this plan of redemption, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, right? The foolishness of God. This is crazy. Even the angels, Brendan, the angels in this scene are looking at the bishop, Jesus, saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're giving it all to this guy? This guy, do you know what kind of person he is? I could see the angels saying that to, you know, they wouldn't say that to God, but they're, you know, amongst themselves. What is God doing?
Right.
These people down there, we've been watching them for thousands and thousands of years. They're crazy. They were all around the bend. So anyway, I wanted to set that up, Brennan, that the bishop is Jesus. Jean Valjean is the lost who becomes redeemed. The nuns are the angels. Jean Valjean is redeemed, and then he is given a gift from Christ. And just as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, to the same, but each one of us, to each one of us, grace or a gift was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he just happened to give Jean Valjean the gift of walk in my footsteps now. What I did for you, you go and do that for everybody else. And then Jesus leaves. Goes back to take up his kingdom, and here Jean Valjean left on the earth in order to further the borders of God's kingdom. That's what I had to bring.
Well, I'm actually going to flesh that out a little bit further in the film, because we see our hero Jean Valjean. He's a convict on the run from Inspector Javert, who proves to be quite a formidable enemy. This cat and mouse dynamic in their relationship extends throughout the majority of the film and is amplified in several revealing moments. One such moment reminds me of a section in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount known as the Beatitudes.
Yes.
The attitudes we should be. Huh?
I like that. You get a...
No, thanks, kids. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't want to get you sick.
Don't breathe on him. Don't cough on him.
Matthew 5:7 will serve as my key text.
Okay.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, fast forward to the barricade. See that this is, way further beyond the movie than the prologue. Fast forward to the barricade. Our revolutionaries have found out that their new, quote, friend is really Inspector Javert, who is actually spying on them to report back to the troops. After his cover is blown, however, he is tied up by the neck and is waiting his civil trial and execution.
The people's court. I reject your people's court, is what he says.
Mm-hmm. And along comes Jean Valjean, who also says he wants to help the cause, just as Javert said. But fool the rebels once, shame on Javert. Fool them twice, shame on them. So not wanting to be betrayed again, they attempt to chain Valjean. But the little squirt, the little
French guy with the Cockney accent?
Yes, yeah. the little Cockney squirt vouches for him. And not too soon either.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! I come here as a volunteer. You see... You see that prisoner over there? A volunteer like you. Spy who calls himself Javert. He's going to get it too.
Get in there. Get inside.
Don't kill him. I know him.
Enemy marksman!
On the road! On the road!
Look back!
Ooh, yes. I love it. Now, after Valjean saves the revolutionaries from a surprise attack, they trust him. And he then kind of asks for a token of their gratitude, Javert himself.
Thank you, monsieur. Give me no thanks, monsieur. There's something you can do. If it is in my power, give me the spy, Javert. Let me take care of him. Do what you have to do. The man belongs to you.
Ah, and the exchange is made. And Javert now belongs to Valjean, who takes him out to, bunny ears, finish the job. However, we'll listen as the scene plays out. Valjean has something different in mind.
We meet again.
You've hungered for this all your life. Take your revenge. How right you should kill with a knife.
Get out of here.
Don't understand.
Clear out of here.
Now, here, Valjean, you could say that he has every right to take Javert's life. Javert even expects him to do so because that's how Javert would have handled the situation. He would have taken his chance to avenge himself. However, Valjean, as he was demonstratively shown a better way by the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
He channels this better way in such a perfect moment when he says, clear out of here.
Yep.
And Javert's like, I don't understand.
See, he's following in the footsteps of his master.
Yes, he is. He is obeying.
Yes.
He is being merciful so yes. that he may receive mercy in his end. Now, Javert, now a free man, starts walking away, but before he leaves, he conceits that this salvation from Valjean means nothing.
Once a thief, forever a thief. What you want, you always steal. You would trade your life for mine. Yes, Valjean, you want a deal. Shoot me now for all I care. If you let me go, beware. You'll still answer to Javert.
And Valjean, just to further extend this loving mercy to his enemy and even heap fiery coals upon his head.
Yes.
You're wrong. And always have been wrong. I'm a man. No worse than any man. You are free. There are no conditions, no bargains or petitions. There's nothing that I blame you for. You've done your duty, nothing more. If I come out of this alive, you will find me at Rue de la Mamay, number 5. That our paths will cross again.
A whole lot of mayonnaise, number 5?
I don't even know what he says. I don't know.
Okay.
but a whole lot of mayonnaise, number 5.
Oh, no, he's going to cough again.
Oh, man. I tried to keep all the coughs within the sound clips, but... Okay. So, let's see. Oh, and just to... If that fiery coals... bit sounded a little familiar. Let me give you a little backstory from Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you.
Amen.
And Paul even quotes this little proverb in Romans chapter 12.
That's actually part of our manifesto that we're working on for the Great Commission Transmission Network and the way that we're going to interact with people online.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go ahead and do you have that quote from Romans?
Oh, no. It's the same thing, though.
It is.
Like he quotes, like, do you want me to pull up the actual verse real quick?
Yeah. Well, it's, yes, please.
Okay, hold on. All right.
Which also goes with Peter, going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. Wow. I can hear the bishop saying that, singing it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, he'll sing it too.
Yep.
he's Colm Wilkinson. He better sing it.
Yeah.
So Romans 12, and actually starting in verse 14, even though this quote isn't technically till verse 20, verse 14 starts off, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Then 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And then picks back up in 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it for the wrath of God.
Yeah.
For it is written, quote, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay."
What an awesome lesson, an object lesson that Jean Valjean is presenting us Christians in this movie. And he learned it from the bishop,
yes,
who gave the ultimate, the best that he had, as you know, as we pointed out, was symbolic of the blood of Christ. This is the best. Carry it with you. Take this. Become an honest man. I bought your soul for God.
Yes. And actually, let me go ahead and finish out Romans 12. Picking back up in 20, to the contrary, he says, you know, he says, don't avenge yourselves, but to the contrary. And then he quotes the proverb, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then finally in 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Wow.
Powerful, powerful stuff.
Hey, hard to live by. That's not easy to do.
Well, if that's the burden that, yep, Jesus says, then technically it is easy. I don't know. Jesus says it's easy. Then again, he's the one who knew he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. Okay, hold on. Whoa, come back. Now back to Valjean. He could have justifiably avenged himself at Javert's expense, but he chose to be merciful instead of vengeful. And this is, you know, like we've already said, this is the perfect mirror of the figure of Christ that he experienced earlier in the film.
Yeah.
So the next time you have the chance to avenge yourself at your enemy's expense,
do it.
Nope.
Oh. Did I miss the lesson?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, you better reiterate it for me.
What?
Oh, yeah, here we go. No, try again.
And these enemies, they can be in the office, in the workplace, at school, at home, on the playground. I know a lot of people like playgrounds. I like playgrounds. Guys, be merciful. Be merciful as Valjean, as the bishop, and as our Father in heaven is merciful. And that's Luke 6:26, by the way. For then you will receive mercy too.
Wow. Yep. This movie is, and we just pulled out two small little things of a movie that is so jam-packed that once again we could do the Finding Christ in Les Miserables podcast, coming to you soon from your friends at the Great Commission Transmission Network.
Like, honestly, I could see, I don't want to add to the list, but some movies may just have to remain on the list.
Yes,
until we fully flesh them out. And I think,
keep it on the list.
I think Les Mis is one of those movies. In fact, it may be the first movie,
yeah,
on that permanent list.
Because
we can't really strike it through.
No,
there's so much stuff here.
Wow. I mean, the young revolutionaries. There's all kinds of lessons in there that we could pull out. Brendan, can we move on?
Yeah, we need to.
Oh boy, he's still coughing. Mail, voicemail, listener feedback. We have, this time, mail, Brendan.
We have snail mail?
We have snail mail that we put out the call a while ago to our brand new P.O. box. Well, it's not brand new, but we just started giving out the address to the P.O. box. We'll give you that address a little later on in the show. But this came, found this in the box one wonderful morning. And, well, let's just go ahead and read it. Hey, Michael and Brendan, remember in a recent episode when you said something to the effect of, heck, send us a nice crisp $20 bill if you want to. Well, looks like you got what you asked for.
Wait, what?
Yep.
There was also a, huh?
Yep. In the wise words of one Albus Dumbledore, use it well. I only wish that I had more to give. I actually found this cash while out on a run yesterday, or whatever day that was, and unable to locate the rightful owner, I thought it would I would put it to good use. Keep up the good work, and may Yahweh bless all that you do. Best, Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Oh, man.
P.S. It's one of my biggest pet peeves that people like to spell anonymous, the same as unanimous. Yes. Please don't do that.
Yeah, don't, yeah, never do
there
that.
There is a Y in there. And and even more. So, yeah, sent that in with well-concealed cash. The letter was...
And it was even folded...
as a paper airplane.
As a paper airplane.
So we can't tell you how thankful we are for that. That money is going towards a new piece of equipment that we need here at the studio that is going to make make things a whole lot better for live broadcasting as well as recording the shows. So soon, once we have that piece of equipment in place, Brendan, we will not only have our live video going on the gctnetwork.com/live page, but we'll also have the audio player that's on that page going at the same time. So some folks may be at work and can't watch the video, but they can, you know, click on and click the audio player and listen if they want to listen live.
Listen to the live stream. Yeah.
You know, there are folks out there that like to partake of shows live. It feels like it's live, and you're witnessing something happen in the there and now. So that was our feedback for this week. Any feedback from you, any friends or anything?
No, they're all silly.
Okay. 2-1. The lightning round. Hey, let me continue my series of tools that I use to prepare for the show. And that would be my, right now, my favorite RSS feed reader, Feedly. Feedly.com. Now, a little over a year ago, Google shuttered their reader program, which was the best RSS reader ever. And for those that don't know, an RSS feed or a reader is a software that reads news articles and things that you tell it to get. RSS, really simple syndication, allows you to subscribe to your favorite blogs and whatnot, anything with an RSS feed, and have it delivered to you automatically. It's just like a magazine subscription or the newspaper. You don't have to go out and get it if you have a subscription. They bring it to you. If you call up the local paper, like the Shelbyville Times-Gazette, and say, I'd like you to deliver the newspaper to me every day that you print one. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We'll have it to your door tomorrow, starting tomorrow. It's wonderful. I don't have to go out and search for things. And so, Brendan and I, we subscribe to all kinds of different movie blogs and news sources. That's where we get the news. Hey, you know, a little sidebar. My wife didn't know this, Brendan.
Oh, no.
When I said last night, I got to go down and finish writing my stories. She says, writing your stories? Don't you just read what you guys find? No, 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 no. We find the stories, and then a good reporter isn't going to read somebody else's words, are they?
No.
No, we put together our own stories just based on the articles that we find. But anyhow, so I use Feedly to do that. And so every morning and afternoon, I check the feed, see what's come in, mark as favorites the stories that I may want to talk about on the next episode. And the end product is the real news segment on Finding Christ in Cinema. That's my lightning round pick for this week, Feedly.com.
I'm going to take this time in the show.
You're not.
Yes, I am. Okay, so if you haven't noticed, I'm a little sick this episode, which is really a shame because you should have noticed because, one, we said it at the beginning of the episode.
And, yes.
And I've been coughing the whole time.
There you go.
And as, you know, as cold season starts coming up, I just want to throw out two things that I've been using to help contain this monstrosity. One, the neti pot.
The what?
The neti pot. And two, Cold Ease lozenges.
Okay.
I feel like I'm an old-time radio commercial right now.
This segment of Finding Christ in Cinema is brought to you by Cold Ease.
Yeah. Wait, not a sponsor? Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. But they may if they'd like to.
But no, like I'm just going to give you, okay, the neti pot. I'm sure you've seen this thing, Michael. You may not believe it.
I don't already.
You may have thought it was a gag. You may have seen it floating somewhere on the internet. It's this teapot type of thing that has an extended spout, an extended thin spout that you fill with warm water and a little medical salt.
Okay.
And it creates like a saline solution, and you lean your head over the sink.
Breathe it?
No. Oh, okay. No, you don't breathe it. No.
You lean your head over the sink and pour it out.
You pour it in one nostril and let it fall out the other.
Okay.
Now, I know, I'm sorry, guys, that's a little graphic for you. However,
that is little TMI.
This is honestly one of the best tools against sinus congestion that I've ever used.
Well,
it works. It so works. I didn't even start using it until one of my directors back at MTSU, back when we were doing Titus Andronicus.
Uh-huh.
She said, "Guys, if you're starting to get sick, go get a neti pot." I was like, "Wait, what's a neti pot?" And then she told me what I'm telling you right now. You pour it in one nostril, let it come out the other.
You know, this is a family show.
Yeah, you know, well, Michael, if you want to stop your family,
you can
from
do it to the
sick,
kids if you want.
I mean, hey, I'm just saying it works.
Oh my goodness,
it works. It fights off the infection. It helps you breathe better when you feel all crummy and crusty and everything. And then the Coldies tablets, they help with the cough.
Is it like magic?
There's no such thing as magic.
I haven't pushed enough carts this episode.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm making a... Oh, no.
I'm a miracle man.
As I was saying, they help with the cough, but then if you have goofy friends who make you laugh, and, you know, then again, you know, nothing can stop that.
Hey, you know, we didn't talk about Joaquin Phoenix as... I mean, is that a done deal? You posted that on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page the other day.
You know, I did. Let me look at it.
Because I had a rumor, a guy named Jack Houston is the latest rumored choice for Doctor Strange. That was from 9 days ago. So I don't know if Joaquin Phoenix has been confirmed or not.
He hasn't yet. He is, in fact... ScreenRant.com is reporting that he is reluctant in signing on for Doctor Strange.
I wonder why.
What? Let me read the article.
Okay. While you're doing that, we have breaking news, Brendan. We have no breaking news stinger, but that's okay. We could do this one. Oh, I just did it twice in a row. Check this out. So, coming in, just the headlines here. Shazam, not like other DC comic movies, no ties to Justice League. So, this is going to be a different kind of a superhero movie coming from DC. Now, of course, the story is that Captain Marvel, as he was originally known as, well, he is known as Captain Marvel, but he was created as a, well, they say as a rival to Superman. And then DC Comics sued, and so Captain Marvel went the way of the pet rock for a couple of decades, but DC owns the rights to it, so they brought him back. That was the way that I know Shazam is from the TV show back in the 70s. And the kid, I can't even remember his name. Bat Madison? No, I don't know, whatever it was, but he was imbued with some powers, the powers of some ancient, of the elders. But anyway, Shazam. We have, watch Ridley Scott's Exodus, God and Kings gets first featurette. Ooh, we're going to have to watch that, maybe talk about that next episode.
For next episode,
okay,
yeah.
And then we have this, check this out. Quote, starring Adam West, unquote. It's a documentary. The trailer looks at the life of an old superhero, Adam West. And if you know about Adam West, you'll know that back in, 1989, when Tim Burton did the first Batman movie with Keaton, Adam West was all bent out of shape that he didn't get a phone call asking if he wanted to play the part of Batman.
Well, yeah, well.
You know, so anyway, some good breaking news there. What about Joaquin?
All right, well, he is so reluctant in taking on this role that Marvel held off announcing an official release date at Comic-Con.
Oh,
because they don't have a Doctor Strange yet. They have a director, a screenwriter, and a block set out for production. But
it almost sounds like they had it in their mind, hey, Joaquin Phoenix, this is his role. And because they can't get a confirmation from him.
And his reluctance, It's apparently a little bit farther than just hammering out a contract. Let's see. Someone's quoting something here, but it just says the Marvel Studios blockbuster machine is full of previs. I don't know. And green screen massive reshoots.
Previsual?
That's it. Yeah, previsual. Yeah. Previz, so visual, yeah. It's a Marvel Studios blockbuster machine is full of pre-visual and fight visual and green screen and massive reshoots, and this world is not comfortable for Phoenix, and he's just not certain he can do it.
Oh wow!
At least that's what this is saying, and I'm taking from ScreenRant.com. Published 3 days ago by Anthony Vieira.
Okay, well, you know, I think what it is that his agent has called up Marvel and said,
"Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Where's the money?" Because my boy don't think he could do green screen.
Yeah, right. I mean, but honestly, like, as an actor, I can understand where he's coming from.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up. What's our challenge for listeners for the next episode?
Well, no, not the... Oh, never mind. I see what you're saying. Actually, I'm going to lay down a gauntlet for our listeners.
Infinity gauntlet?
No, that's a Marvel thing. It won't go that far because this gauntlet will eventually end.
Okay.
We may not know
when. Well, the Infinity gauntlet, the comic book nerds out there know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, boy.
Now, I've made a connection from the Beatitudes to Les Mis with the character Valjean and being merciful, but I believe every Beatitude can be linked to a character. And that's my challenge to you.
Oh.
Because, see, and here's another
one. In this film. Oh, boy.
In this film, because just a couple that I thought of on the way here as I was.
You're going to give answers out now?
I'm going to give my answers.
Or you're going to prime the pump.
I'm going to. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Like the revolutionaries.
Ooh.
Like Marius. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall be called the children of God. Like Cosette?
Colette?
No, Cosette. Whatever.
It's Cosette.
Guys, there's no wrong answer. Well, I guess there is some.
This is
wrong
a thought
answer.
Experiment.
Yeah. I just want to see what you guys think.
Awesome. I like that one. That's a good gauntlet to throw down. Coming up on the next movie, or for the next movie that we plan on reviewing, for a while now, we've been talking about a particular actor in a particular film that's being re-released on a particular IMAX-style screen.
And so
that got Brendan all of a sudden into this big Tom Hanks kick.
Yes, it has. And not only with Forrest Gump being re-released, but with the news of Inferno being starting to be reshot, and all the talk last week we had about the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. And
he's a fine actor.
He is, and... You know, we're going to give Tom Hanks... Is this his first appearance here at FCC?
It may be.
I believe so. Yeah! Next week, while we do still plan on covering Forrest Gump...
Yes.
...in time for the IMAX release, we actually have a special guest planned for that episode. We just haven't worked out a schedule yet. So, while we're waiting for that to happen, we'll be looking at the Green Mile.
Oh
yes!
Wow!
Yes,
that's a heavy movie.
It is, and I love. It might be our first Stephen King movie here too. I think it is.
I believe it is.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Oh goodness! This show is going to go on. We could go on forever and ever. It just matters whether the people want to listen to it or not, and listen to what. Finding Christ in Cinema. We're part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. For all the shows, Finding Christ in Cinema, the back episodes, all the Monday movie reviews that Brendan writes, all the links to everything else that we do, get to the official website at christincinema.com. Or maybe you want to send us an email. You can do that to fcc@gctnetwork.com. Perhaps you want to follow the example of Anonymous out there. and send us some snail mail, you can address that to GCTN PO Box 111, Unionville, Tennessee 37180.
Or if you just want to let us listen to your sweet, caring voices, you can call us up on the voicemail at 507-407-GCTN. And for those without letters on the phones, that's 507-407-4286. And if you just want to listen to the podcast, and believe you me, we will not judge you if that's all you want to do. Just search the stores. You can search iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including the Theonauts podcast, get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
You know, I kind of feel like this episode will be less miserable than other episodes.
You know I hate comedians.
You're getting all the booze. And that is a wrap!
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me!
You ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
I don't understand.
Oh, I already did that one.
You already did that one! It's okay, we've heard Morpheus like three times already. And that's the fourth time we've heard Walking Phoenix.
All right, bye everybody.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission
at GCTNetwork.com.